In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the King James Version says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now, the New King James Version reads like this: "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." And so that's a little different translation. But the idea is that we need vision. We need revelation. We need someone to let us know what life is going to be like so that we can live it to the fullest. The book of Proverbs is, of course, a book about wisdom. And the writer conveys to us in small chunks or nuggets of information very wise sayings that are designed to immediately enlighten us as to how we are to conduct ourselves. The word vision here is of particular importance. This proverb is referring to divine vision, but surely the idea of not having vision in the sense that we don't look forward, we don't anticipate the future, we don't try to make plans, surely that idea is also something that is contained here, because the vision of the prophet often helped the people to understand how to go forward in life. Without God's standards, we will certainly perish. And so when we think about vision, we think about seeing, and particularly seeing the future. While we don't have miraculous vision today, we do have God's revelation in His holy word. We can read that and we can let it guide our lives for the future. But in regard to other areas of life, we need to have vision as well. Not talking about miraculous vision, but just thinking about the future and what we need to do as God's people. You know, we need vision. And I'm just thinking in terms of non-miraculous vision, thinking about planning for the future. We need vision because not having vision results in disaster. Secondly, having vision will improve our attitudes. Third, it will improve our industry. And finally, the future literally depends upon our having vision. And so I'd like to think about those things this evening. Why do we need vision? I hope that everyone, and especially our leaders, will recognize the need for that, both in our own personal lives and especially in relationship to the church. And as we think about these things, we should gain some motivation to see the need for vision and to see the need to help the church to grow. Because ultimately, that is God's vision for us. Well, first of all, we need vision because not having vision will result in disaster. What business out there does not plan for the future? They all do. I used to be in the business world, and when I was working for a telecommunications company, I worked in the sales department. And one of the things that the salesman would do each month is that they would work up what they call a forecast. Well, this didn't have anything to do with the weather. It had to do with what sales they anticipated were going to come in that month. And the whole department had to submit their sales forecasts to the manager of the department, and then that manager submitted those forecasts to the president of the company, so the president could look at that and say, okay, we've got this much money coming in next month. What are we going to do with it? They were making plans for how to use that money. Businesses don't survive without vision. And even in a smaller scale, our families need vision. We need to set goals. Maybe you have children in school and you're setting goals for them to move on to the next grade or eventually to graduate. Maybe you're setting goals for yourself in a personal way of where you're going to take a vacation or what you're even going to do for lunch on Wednesday or something of that nature. These are all goals that we set, and we thrive on goal setting and achieving those goals. Well, God understands this. He created us, and He knows that in order for us to be successful, we need goals and objectives, and we need to work toward those goals and objectives. And God had a goal and objective before time even began. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11 tells us that He had an eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This eternal purpose was to bring about the salvation of mankind. And so there was God's goal. Jesus, we know, made plans for His disciples. We can read in Matthew chapter 10 about the limited commission where He told His disciples to go out and to preach the gospel among those who were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And in doing so, they were to call them back unto repentance and let them know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After Jesus' resurrection, He set goals for the disciples and for the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. He told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 to wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the Spirit. That was a goal. That was an objective. He wanted them to make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And the apostles made plans under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 16 and verses 6 through 10. There the apostle Paul says, we wanted to go into this one place, Bithynia, and then we wanted to go to this other place, and the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. And finally, Paul in the middle of the night had a vision of a man of Macedonia beckoning them to come over. And so he followed that vision, and they took the gospel for the first time to the continent of Europe. And aren't we glad he did that? Because that helps us tremendously. And so there is vision in the Bible. They made plans in the Bible. They set goals and objectives, and then they fulfilled those goals and objectives. Well, what if God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit had no vision whatsoever? We wouldn't have the church. Jesus would have never died on the cross. We'd be lost in our sins. There is a need for vision and for planning. Without some kind of vision, we would have no purpose, no goals, no agenda, no direction, nothing to seek to accomplish, no work to do. Think about that. And failure to have vision results in apathy, laziness, and confusion. When we don't have some good goals and objectives set, no one really knows what to do. And they don't really care to do anything. And they may not even agree upon what to do because there's nothing set for them to pursue. But having vision improves many things. It improves our industry. That is, it helps us to devote ourselves energetically to tasks that we need to accomplish. And that's what industry is. When I was in the business world, again, I'm going to share another story. One of my managers wanted us to develop a weekly status report. And in another job, I'd only had a monthly status report, you know, that I had to make. And I thought, well, a weekly status report, is that really going to help, you know? But he wanted it, and so I said, okay, I'll start doing a weekly status report. And I found out that that weekly status report actually helped me to know how to plan for the next week. I knew what was coming up. I knew what we needed to accomplish. I knew where we wanted to be at the end of that week. It was very helpful. And I still kind of follow that today in my work. I sit down at the beginning of my work week each week, and I have a yellow pad, and I just write out, you know, some things that I want to do this week and accomplish. And most of the time, the list is basically the same, but it's still helpful. It helps me to stay on task. It helps me to know what to anticipate, and especially if I have things that interrupt my schedule or unexpected events that come up that I need to get involved in, it helps me to remember what I need to get done before Sunday comes. And so this is improving industry. This is helping me work, and vision helps us to do that. You know, God's vision for man's salvation includes a work for us to do that we just talked about a minute ago. First of all, evangelizing those who are out there in the world who need to hear the gospel as Jesus taught us to do. There is the work of helping those who have need. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 tells us that as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. We need to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. Wherefore, exhort one another daily, so long as it is called today, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 tells us. And we saw this morning from Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 through 10, that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, verse 10 says, created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works, not of works of merit, but good works that God has given us to do through Jesus Christ. And so God has a work for us to do. And knowing God's vision improves our industry. And as we listen to God's vision and internalize that vision, then we can take it and apply it to our lives in a way so that it results in a specific action on our part. And that is what God wants. When we have that kind of vision, we will set goals for our lives and ourselves. I have, many years ago, taken some business courses wherein these principles were given and taught. And one of the things, questions that I took out of that, that had stuck with me through my whole life, and you know, I got out of the business world back in 2002, so it's been a while. But one question was this: where do you expect to be in 5 years? Where do you expect to be in 10 years? You know, that's a great question to ask. What are things going to look like? And I've sought to apply that question personally to myself and thinking about, well, I would like to have a job. I would like to be able to take care of my family. I'd like to have so much in the bank for retirement and other things. You know, I need to work on the cars. I need to work on the house. You know, all of those things. You've got to have vision. Now, that's just personal. But, you know, for the church also, we need to be asking questions like that. Where do we want the church to be in 5 years? Where do we want the church to be in 10 years? And you know, I wasn't really expecting to talk about this, but it kind of came to my mind that next October, I will have been here for 10 years. And the church today looks very different from the church that I came into 10 years ago. Now, that's not to say there's not some of the same people here. It's certainly some of the same, but we've got some new people that have come in. We've got a lot of young families coming up, and that's great. It's wonderful. So what's going to happen in the next 5 years? What's going to happen in the next 10 years? We need to be thinking about that in relationship to everything that has transpired over the past 10 years. Do we have a vision? Do we have a plan? Do we have some goals that we want to achieve? I'll tell you one goal that I'd like to see us accomplish for next year. A couple of goals come to mind. We have talked about with our younger people in the class in the back having a Friends and Family Day, where we just try to get everyone who's a member to come one Sunday. You know, I think we've got, you know, definitely over 100 people who are members here, but we can't always get them together at one time on any particular Sunday. But we should have at least one Sunday out of the year where we can try to get everyone here, all of our members, every single person, so that we can be together for at least one Sunday. We're so, you know, our society is so mobile that people just come and go. But that would be a great thing to do. Friends and Family Day. We used to do it at another church that I was worked at. And next year, we're going to have a session at Camp Ida that is going to be under my direction. And we'd like to have as many of our people participate in that as we can. And I know there's some of them are kind of young, but then there's others that are going to be older, I think. And then we have a lot of young ones who are coming up. And it would be great if we could have just a bunch of people go to that session for Camp Ida. I think it would be a wonderful, wonderful session. So there's just a couple of things. And I'm sure you could think of many more things that you would like to accomplish. But we need vision to help with our industry. And when we plan the work, then we can work the plan. But unless we have a plan, we're not going to have a lot of work. Having vision improves industry. Having a vision improves attitudes also. Have you ever found yourself just sitting around with nothing to do and not a lot of motivation? I've done that before. Maybe you've done that too. But you know, it's easy to kind of get down in the dumps when you do that, right? Because it affects your attitude when you don't really have anything to do. You sit there and you just, I don't really want to do anything. And all of a sudden, you're thinking about some things that you really shouldn't be thinking about, having some negative thoughts, thinking about doing things that maybe you shouldn't be doing. But when we have something to do, when we keep ourselves busy, It improves our attitude. It helps us to focus. It helps us to overcome that old chimney corner scripture that you've heard before. Idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? You ever heard that one? My mom drilled that one into me, let me tell you. Over and over again. When we have vision, our attitudes will get better. We will have unity. We will have a common purpose. We will have common goals to pursue. We will have focus. And we'll have good morale as a result of our accomplishments. And when we get some things done, we can look back on those things with an appropriate amount of pride and respect in what we've done and feel good about doing those good things that God wants us to do. We need to have those kinds of feelings toward the works that we do. And the Bible teaches that happiness and joy result from these attitudes. Consider 3 John verse 4, where John writes, "Greater joy have I none than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." They're walking in the truth and doing the Lord's will brought him a tremendous amount of joy. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi and said, "Make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." When we have that unity of purpose, we will have joy. "These things we write," John wrote, "that our joy may be full." 1 John 1 verse 4. With clear vision, our attitudes will improve because we won't be wandering aimlessly, just trying to find something, anything to do to satisfy our boredom. Now think about the example of the children of Israel who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they did not accept God's vision. God had a vision, you remember? To go into the land of Canaan, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And God said, "I'll give it to you." And they sent those 12 spies up there. And Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, "Let us go up at once and possess it." They were men of faith. They had God's vision. But the other 10 said, "Oh no, we can't do that. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. And we'll surely be destroyed." And the people then said, "Oh, why did you lead us out here into the wilderness to be destroyed, Moses? And let's take Moses and Joshua and kill them and go back to Egypt." They didn't accept God's vision. We need to have vision so that we don't make the same mistakes as they did. And then finally, the future literally depends upon our having vision. We're going to the future, whether we want to or not. Think about that for a moment. You're doing it right now. Going to the future. And it's going to happen. Well, what if it's an unplanned future, unorganized future, unexpected future? How's your life going to play out? It's not going to be very good. You're going to be like those people we talked about a moment ago, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. And as James said in James chapter 1, you'll be like the one who's out there in the waves just bobbing along. No, without vision, the future is not going to look too bright. In order to have the kind of future that God wants us to have, both here and in eternity, we need vision. Living by God's plan will bring us to heaven. And that's something we certainly must focus on each and every day. But our immediate future also needs to be informed by God's plan in the here and now. We need to, as the old saying goes, plan the work and work the plan so that our future will be of God's making and not of our own. The more popular way to refer to this today is intentional living. Maybe you've heard that expression in more recent times. Intentional living. Doing what we intend to do. And not just doing whatever comes along at any moment. Well, to do that, we've got to have some organization. We've got to set goals and plans. And we've got to act in a way that is going to follow God's holy word. And I want you to think about Joseph for just a minute. You know, Joseph, if anyone was hit with an unexpected future, it was Joseph, right? He probably didn't think that at 17 years old, he was going to be sold into slavery by his brothers and taken down into Egypt. But Joseph did the best with what he had, and he ended up working his way up until he was second in command next to Pharaoh. And when he had that vision about the future, you remember the two dreams that Pharaoh had, the one with the seven cows that were lean and the seven cows that were fat, and then the seven heads of grain that were lean, the seven heads of grain that were fat. And Joseph interpreted that dream for Pharaoh. He said, you're going to have 7 years of prosperity. But then after that, you're going to have 7 years of famine. And that 7 years of famine is going to be so bad that it's going to eat up everything that happened in those 7 years of prosperity. And that Pharaoh, he was a pretty smart guy because he listened to Joseph. And he put Joseph in charge of making the plans so that they could endure and survive that 14 years. And so Joseph went about working to save up as much grain as he could, those 7 years of prosperity. I'm sure they had plans upon plans, and they worked really hard to bring in that grain and to store it up. You remember he put a certain amount of taxes on the people, so they had to give that in so that when that 7 years of famine came along, they were ready. They were ready. And so he had a plan, he worked the plan, he followed the plan, and the plan bore tremendous fruit for him and ultimately for God's people, the children of Israel, right? Because we know the rest of the story. When that famine hit and Jacob and his sons didn't have anything to eat, where did they go? They went to Egypt. And who was there ready for them but Joseph? He had vision. And we need that same vision in the church today. Not having vision will result in disaster. But having vision improves our industry, improves our attitudes, and will give us a future that we can participate in and that we can work on. Now, that's not to say that some unexpected things might not happen. Sometimes unexpected things happen. But by and large, if you look around, we're still doing pretty much the same things we were 10 years ago. And that's not to say that there's not some things that are different. There are. There's some things that are different. But most of what we do is pretty much the same. And that's good. That's good. We need that stability. We need that vision. We need that commitment so that we can go forward into the future. It takes courage. It takes effort. But it is worth it. It's worth it. And if we will have the vision that we need to have to be God's people, to work for Him in His vineyard, we'll ensure that we can have another great 10 years here at the New Boston Church of Christ. Let's give those things some thought. And as this year is coming up, as I usually do each year, I ask for suggestions for lessons and sermons that you would like to hear, and we have that suggestion box in the back. And you're welcome to write anything down anonymously and put that in that box. And I check that box regularly. I use it for a questions and answers session. And I also think about it in reference to lessons and sermons and other things that we do each year. And I'm working on my vision for next year for the sermons and lessons that I'm putting together. I've got a big, long spreadsheet that I'll work on. And I'll fill it out, and then I'll print that out and give it to the elders and say, this is basically what I'm going to do next year. Now, sometimes I change it up a little bit, but that's all right. And it's okay to change things up a little bit to anticipate different things. Nothing wrong with that. But I have a plan, and I work the plan. There's another saying, failing to plan is planning to fail. And that's something that we don't need to do. Let's plan the work and work the plan instead. And God has a plan for you. And maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you'd like to be one. Hear His word and believe it. Repent of sins. Confess Jesus as Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. That's God's plan. That's Jesus' plan. God gave Him all authority. And that's what He said for us to do, to get involved with His people. And maybe you'd like to do that tonight and join us as we go forward into the future. And we can work together, and we'll help you, and you can help us. And that would be a great thing. If there's anything that anyone needs tonight, you can come forward and make it known right now while together we stand and while we sing.